Picture the thing you've always wanted to learn. Now, picture learning it from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That's what you get with Masterclass. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/ratchet. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/ratchet. Masterclass.com/ratchet.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable. I am exhausted. My sleeping patterns are all the way off. I mean, as to be expected, because I'm in a different time zone. Ghana is 4 hours ahead of the U.S. right now because the U.S. jumped forward. Ghana doesn't do daylight savings time. I mean, the time zone's throwing me off. But the other night, I went out. Was it Easter? It was Easter. But I went out to this, I don't even want to say the name of the restaurant because I don't think it's the restaurant's fault. I can't tell if I had food poisoning. Okay, maybe I did because I threw up. But like, I think I might have had too much cheese. You know, Black people in dairy don't really do so well. So it's an Italian restaurant. The chef is Italian, so it's not crazy. It's not like, girl, why are you in Ghana eating Italian food? The same reason I be in Ghana eating sushi and Thai food. They have everything here the same way you have it in the U.S. But the food was so freaking amazing. And I ate half of it at the restaurant. And I came home and I was up watching BMF, which if you didn't see that last episode, oh my God, we'll talk about it in a second. And then I finished it because I was up. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was hungry. And so I was like, oh, I'll just finish it. And somewhere around like 3:34, let's just say things stopped going so well. It was very unpleasant. But it's thrown my sleeping patterns off because I was up until, again, like 8, 9 in the morning. And then when I finally went to bed, I slept until 3 o'clock. Like just everything is off. I slept and rested all day Monday. And then somewhere around 10 o'clock, I was like, I have to be somewhat productive. I have to pack up my condo because I'm moving tomorrow on Wednesday to South Africa. These are all quote unquote problems I asked for, but still, it's just a lot at the moment. Speaking of condos, I really, really, really want a condo in Ghana. I don't know if the one that I picked is going to be it. This is when I was still in Maryland. The realtor hit me and was like, hey, I just wanted to make sure you saw the new floor plan for your condo. I'm sorry, excuse me? New floor plan? No. We agreed upon a very specific floor plan. Like it's literally, it's in the contract, like page 22. Like, what do you mean there's a new floor plan? So I was like, you know what? Be easy. Maybe they ran into some difficulty. There's the theory of sketching everything out. And then there's the application of actually doing it. And you may realize that something doesn't work or something works better. These things happen. Let me hear you out. So they send me the new floor plan, which is actually, quite honestly, a better floor plan. The way it was prior, both bedrooms are next to each other. I didn't really think much about it. 9 times out of 10, it'll be just me. I really just got a second bedroom as the occasional time somebody stays over, but mostly for storage, maybe an office. We'll see. But the new layout has the bedrooms on opposite sides of the apartment. So I was like, okay, that actually, when there is somebody here, gives more space. Just based on all the places that I live, I like an open layout. I like a loft-like feel. I think the only place I had a hallway out of all the places that I've stayed for the last couple years, and that I've lived in, I mean, like in the last, I don't know, like 25, only one had a hallway, and that was the place in Paris, which was teeny, teeny, tiny, but amazing location. That said, the new layout has a more open floor plan. It makes the living room huge. And I was like, okay, it might not be that bad. So I'm like looking at it and I'm like, something's off. I can't figure out what it is. And I'm looking. I'm like, where's the kitchen? They sent me the blueprints and they didn't plan for a kitchen. Again, this happened last week. So I responded back and I was like, good morning. Every text exchange has to start with the greeting of a time of day. You can talk back and forth, but if there's like a 30-minute pause, then you have to start over again. Hello, and then on to whatever. It's considered extremely rude if you don't do a greeting. It drives me up a wall. I just do it so I don't sound like an asshole. So I was like, good morning. Thank you for this correspondence. Please, because you always got to say please. Can you inform where the kitchen is? It took them a week to get back to me, and they sketched out a new layout with the kitchen. I'm frustrated by the process. All my homeowner friends have warned me, just prepare yourself to be annoyed and stressed. They said this is the process of buying a house. It's a stressful experience, but once you do it, you'll be glad you did. And I was like, will I? Nobody mentioned anything about entirely changing the layout. And I was like, so we could keep the old layout. And they were like, yeah, so we prefer to do this one. Well, what if I prefer not to purchase? Like, I just... I'm frustrated. I tell you these things for two specific reasons. One, because it's part of my life. But then two, I think very often, and I know, people create just bizarre narratives of what my life is like overseas. Apparently, I'm just living on a nonstop vacation and everything is just, I don't know, a wide stretch of road with uninterrupted green lights. And that's just nobody's life ever. You could have stretches of life, maybe a week or two if you're lucky, but that's just not how life operates for anybody. But unless I specifically say, like, you know, my life is crazy, my life is not perfect, then people just sort of think I'm living in like a dream sequence or something. No. Life be lifing at home and abroad. I'm on a different continent, same shit, different day. But changing the layout, like, that's some shit that never crossed my mind. I had a bunch of concerns about purchasing a place abroad. Changing the layout was not one of them. Also, I had to write back and I was like, okay, so kitchen, washer and dryer? Like, where did that go? Oh, and the other thing, they were like, yeah, so we added a bathroom. You added a bathroom? They added a bathroom. But now I don't know where the washer and dryer was. The room, the quote unquote laundry room is now a bathroom. And this was really frustrating me. Okay. I had this idea for this apartment, specifically the layout of the apartment, the original way. I have panorama floor-to-ceiling windows on two of the walls in the living room. And my idea was to have a long table, at least an 8-seater, so that I could have proper dinner parties. And we could sit in front of the windows with proper views of Accra. Didn't really have a skyline, but of Accra. The condo was on the side of the building where you can see the sun set over the ocean. You can also see the sparkling lights of the city at night. I thought really, really hard about this. And now with the new layout, that doesn't work. Also, with the old layout, there was a counter, a kitchen counter, but now there's no counter. You know, I love a good counter or a good island situation. It brings me so much joy. And now it's gone. I don't really sound like I want this place no more, do I? I need to make a decision. I hate being an adult sometimes. This is one of those times. But other than that, my Easter went well. I was hanging out at one of my favorite beach clubs. I was sitting with a group of friends and this man was coming down the steps and I looked up and he waved at me. I didn't have my glasses on. I didn't really see who he was, but like, you know, smiling person or whatever. I just like waved back like, all right, whatever. But the guy comes over to our section and was like, Demetria. And I looked up and I was like, oh my God. One of my favorite humans on the face of earth. I haven't seen him in years. Memsor. He worked in the fashion department. I don't know what his title was, but I was a vibe intern. I don't think he was fashion assistant. I think he was associate. But he is like fashion stylist god now. But more important, when I was a fresh intern, literally had lived in New York all of maybe 2 or 3 weeks, Mimsor and Tasha Turner, were in the fashion department at Vibe. And they took me under their wing. I mean, they clowned me too, but in a very loving way, to make sure I was acclimated to the ins and outs of working in the magazine industry, specifically in entertainment, specifically in music. They taught me how to move in those spaces. I am eternally grateful for both of them. I haven't seen him in years, but like one of my favorite humans. Like we literally jumped on each other. We hugged each other like 6 and 7 times. We could not get enough. It's always so wonderful when someone you just like love and adore just also loves and adores you back. Just amazing person, fashion god. But at the core, amazing person. Always with a beautiful smile, always with some wit. Can also and will throw shade if needed too. But that's not the default. We start with kindness. Can match energy if need be. He brought me so much joy. I was like, if an Easter basket is a person, ugh. I'm probably going to go to a beach club tomorrow for my final hurrah in Ghana. I'm so sad about leaving. And I'm acting like I'm not going someplace epic. Cape Town is one of my favorite places on earth. Last time I left Cape Town, I cried. And what's that lady's name? She had the show on Netflix and it was about like redesigning your space or giving away your clothes and you had to thank them. Marie Kondo. I did that with the whole city of Cape Town. I sit on some perch because there are 50 million overlooking the water with these amazing freaking views and had to thank Cape Town for its awe-inspiring beauty, its excellence, its fresh air, its beautiful views. I love that place. I'm so excited to be going back, but also, you know. Also, when I went home like a month ago, I told y'all I sat in the window at the restaurant. I ate one of my favorite meals and I was sitting there all despondent about leaving Ghana. It's a really blessed feeling to be able to go so many places and enjoy them and they feel like home to the point that you don't want to leave. It's very much a blessing. But right now in the moment, like I'm all in my feels. Loving Ghana is the only reason I'm even contemplating keeping this condo. They changed the layout. They literally changed the floor plan. Who does that? Who does that? Who does that? No one's really sure what the economy is doing right now. It's best to start saving if you can. Cut back on expenses. For example, I used to spend over $100 a month on streaming services. Netflix, Disney Plus, Prime, you name it. But since I started using ExpressVPN, I've been able to cut back and save so much every month. Let me explain. See, all these streaming services like Netflix actually have thousands of more shows than you think. You just don't see them all because they give you different shows depending on your country. So what you see on Netflix here is completely different to what someone in Italy or South Korea sees. But using the ExpressVPN app, I can change my online location. ExpressVPN has over 90 countries to choose from. So every time I run out of stuff to watch, I just switch to another country to unlock new shows. Right now, I'm watching all my favorite shows on American Netflix. It's not on Netflix here in Ghana, but with ExpressVPN, just tap one button to change my country to America, refresh the page, and it shows up. I don't need to pay extra for Apple TV or Prime just to watch it. And on top of that, I can even use ExpressVPN to get discounts. Some services cost less in other countries. For example, if you buy Netflix from Argentina, it costs a fraction of the price. At less than $7 a month, ExpressVPN pays for itself and so much more. It's a no-brainer. So if you want to get way more shows and save money while you're at it, go to expressvpn.com/ratchet. Don't forget to use my link so you can get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/ratchet. expressvpn.com/ratchet to learn more. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. You know that I am a huge advocate of therapy. I think everyone should get some, even the people who don't think anything is wrong. Think of it like the same way you would a physical checkup. You go for a mental one too. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. I love how easy BetterHelp makes it to get professional help. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ratchet today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ratchet. I just mentioned I've been watching BMF. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the latest episode. I don't watch BMF for the acting because some people are like, I can't believe you watch BMF. That show is horrible. It's not. It's so not. The acting, there are things to be desired. The storylines, unmatched. I never read Big Meech's book. I don't know how much the storyline deviates from the book, how much is added for dramatic TV effect. That is a riveting show. I mean, it's absolutely some hood shit. It's like a Power, but more ghetto. Power was aspirational in that Jamie was trying to be like more than a drug dealer. Meech and Terry just want to be drug dealers. That's it. That's the goal. It started in Detroit and now it's expanded to Atlanta. I think they're trying to take over the entire Eastern Seaboard, if not the whole country. There is, it's not the final scene, but close to the final scene. I ain't seen a shootout like that since Heat. It was amazing TV. Ugh. It's like, okay, hold on. Stay with me. Think of one of the battle scenes in Game of Thrones. It's the shootout equivalent of a Game of Thrones battle when a dragon shows up. It was so good. When I tell you that shit was crazy, everybody died. It was good TV. I watched it in the middle of the night. I might need to go back and watch it again. But even like half hazy, running back and forth to the bathroom, it was still amazing. That's how you know it's good. I've been rewatching DR from Detroit. If you've been watching it, because I talked about it last episode and a bunch of y'all wrote in, it has to be watched at least 2 or 3 times. It seems like a light, fluffy show that you can kind of zone in and out of, but it actually has a bunch of layers. I went back and watched it again. You know, I get into like the cadence of shows. I like the cadence of the characters talking, and I like to fall asleep watching TV shows. So I put it on the other night and I just wasn't falling asleep. And on the second or maybe third watch, I noticed a bunch of things that I hadn't caught in previous viewings. And I was like, oh, I had to go look up on BET when that 5th episode drops Thursdays. It comes out on Thursdays. I was like, can nobody at BET get me some screeners? It's driving me crazy. It's such a good show. And then I got into some nerd shit the other night. There's a documentary on HBO called The Power of Film, and it goes through the best of cinema, and there's a bunch of black stuff in there, just FYI. It breaks down the art of storytelling and why we are drawn to certain films. What is it that E.T. does for us? Why do we keep watching The Godfather over and over? Like, what is it about Thelma and Louise? What is it about Do the Right Thing? The premise of the documentary is why we think we watch films or that we're attracted to certain stories is not the reason that we think. But it breaks down all of these classic films, Boys in the Hood included, about what it is that actually resonates. Really great conversations about the difference between fate and destiny. Fate is being pushed, destiny is running toward, which I was like, oh. The difference between a tragedy and a comedy, it's really not about whether you laugh or how the story ends. It's about what makes it tragic and what makes things funny. Really smart stuff. I know everybody's not into stuff like that, but just as a writer, storyteller, author, podcaster, story is very important to me. English major, journalist. So like I completely nerded out and also cried. They explained why E.T. works. Why adults and children, everybody watches E.T. and it just like hits you in the heart. I'm like, okay, like the kids get chased. They broke down like why chase scenes fascinate us as well. It's not just the visual effect or the action sequence. It's deeper than that. It's actually about possibility and hope, which I was like, wait, what? Yeah. And then right after that, they play the E.T. scene where they're trying to get E.T. back to his spaceship. The kids are on bikes and they're being chased by parents. They're being chased by police cars. Somehow they're outrunning them, but they're going, going, going. And then the kids are surrounded and then E.T. helps them fly. Do you know my ass, my grown ass who hasn't seen E.T. in 40 years, maybe? My mother said she took me to the theater to see E.T. She said I cried so bad and wanted to leave because I thought something bad was going to happen to E.T. She was like, I just know the genre, like he's going to survive. And she was like, but I needed you to see that E.T. was going to be okay. Otherwise, I've taken you to the theater and I probably damaged you for life. I was like, it's very dramatic. She was like, have you met you? Apparently, I've always been this way. But I sat in the middle of the floor last night as a grown adult and cried when the bikes took off. Flying, literally soaring above your circumstance, hope, all seems to be lost, but there's a way out. Apparently, that and being trapped are like the crux of all American films. I was like, wait, what? Fascinating shit. Highly recommend. I already know this is something I'm going to watch over and over and over. And no, this is not a plug from HBO. Because sometimes when I really, really like things, they're like, oh, was that sponsored? Remember my friend said that about The Color Purple? She was like, was this a sponsored post? Why are they singing Shug Avery is coming to town when Shug Avery is in the town? I'm never getting over that. What else do we have? News is slow this week. I listened to the Beyonce album. Now y'all know with Renaissance, because there were no visuals, I refused to listen. Like I was like, I like my Beyonce in a very specific way. I like my visual albums. I need my visuals. Beyonce didn't really give us visuals until the actual Renaissance concert. You know, also, I never did get to see the Renaissance film when I was home. It's not playing anywhere. It's not streaming. It's not available anywhere. So I never watched it. I literally did not listen to that album until I was watching Beyonce in concert. I don't necessarily regret that per se. Renaissance was, it was a fine album. It just wasn't for me. I can recognize strong artistry. I can recognize something that's good, but it's just not my taste. So I did have the regret that one of my very good friends is a gigantic Beyonce fan and Renaissance was just, you know, everything to him. And I feel like we missed out on friend bonding moments because when he would talk about Renaissance or Beyonce, I just had no clue what he was talking about. So I was like, with this album, and especially too, this album dropped and then people were saying it was Beyonce's best album. We talked about this last episode and I was like, y'all say that about every Beyonce album. But people who I don't know to be in the Beehive, who are not usually Beyonce stans, were like, yo, this is incredible. This is amazing. Take a listen. And then also I was seeing people who were like, oh my God, this is freaking awful. What is she doing? Usually when there's like a vast polarization like that, it is really, really good or really, really bad. So I was like, you know what? Let me just have a listen. I pulled that thing up on Tidal, so I was like 28, 29 songs, and I was like, oh my God, please don't let this be another Usher situation. You can't edit either? I was wrong. It's a beautiful album. Half the time I was listening to it, I was like, I don't know if this qualifies as country, but I like it. And then I had to question, like, do I really know what country sounds like? Because I think, I don't know what I think. Aaron Neville? Willie Nelson? Dolly Parton? I don't think of no black folks when I think of country, even though there's tons of them, even though it is a black art form. I don't, Dixie Chicks, Shania Twain, Taylor Swift-ish? Is she country? I think of her as pop, but I guess she could be country and pop. I don't know. But I was listening to the album and I was like, is this country? And then I was like, do I know what country sounds like? And then I finally just gave up and was like, no, this is not country. Like, this is the Beatles. A good chunk of the album sounds like, I was describing it to a friend. I said, it's the music they play on This Is Us when Jack went to Vietnam. It's accurate. She was like, what? And I was like, stay with me. In Forrest Gump, when Jenny's about to jump off the ledge, they played this kind of music. She listened to the album and came back and was like, I'm actually scared how your mind works because it actually is an accurate description. I was like, I know. A good chunk of the album sounds like Woodstock. I kept thinking I should be dancing outside in loose clothes with dirty feet, holding a drink in the air. It's good in the zone type music. This very much feels like headed to Vietnam. Also, I thought folk music, which, you know, Woodstock. But then also, folk ain't really that far off from country. And I was like, oh, we're all in the same genre. We're adjacent. Not far off. I decided, I'm still rolling around this theory. I gotta listen to the album again. I need to listen to it in a car or on my headphones while I'm working out. I haven't worked out since I've been back. If I listen to it on my headphones, specifically while walking uphill, it'll give me the same vibe as driving. Don't ask how that makes sense. But then I can make a better determination about the album. But at first listen, I really enjoyed it. But the theory I've been rolling around is, even though Beyoncé said it's not a country album, it's a Beyoncé album, but then her first two singles hit on the country charts, and then she's been dressing fabulously, I might add, and all these country get-ups. She went to the iHeart Awards last night, and it's like black Versace fringe leather jumpsuit, I think. It could have been a shirt and pants. I think it was a jumpsuit. Fabulous. With a matching hat with the gold Versace logos on it. Oh my God. Fabulous. Also giving Elvis, which rock and roll, but also a little country. I'm like, oh, it's all tying together. My theory is that the album is less country in the sense of musical art form often associated with Nashville, and is more country in the sense of country as in place, as in America. I think the various genres of music on the album, the things that stand out to me is they're all more or less considered American art forms, or in the case of the Beatles song, because it was written by Paul McCartney, who's technically British, but it's a song about black girls in America. I'm thinking that instead of country as in genre of music, that her album is more country as in sounds of America. I'm still fleshing this out. I said it a couple days ago, but I haven't listened to the album on my headphones to really make a declarative statement. I'm saying that with a question mark right now. But it's a really strong album. There's opera. I was reading somewhere, they said in music classes where Beyoncé went to school, learning that specific opera that she sang is like part of the music education. And I was like, is that true? Like, are you going full circle with your music? Beyoncé says it's the best music that she's ever made. She might be right. I don't want to phrase it that way because it sounds like it's being negative. I like Beyoncé. I like a lot of Beyoncé music. This is, to me, her going into, I don't want to call it songs in the key of life because that's just like lofty. But I kind of think of it as like, stay with me. I kind of feel like it's when, and it stays with the whole protest anthem. Like when Marvin Gaye goes from like Motown soul singer who sings about love and heartbreak and relationships essentially to what's going on. I feel like this is Beyoncé's moment. That's why I say songs in the key of life. If I'm remembering my musical history correctly, Songs in the Key of Life was a departure from the kind of music that he usually made. And then, you know, it's largely considered one of his best albums. Stevie Wonder gave Beyoncé the award last night. She got the award for Innovator. I don't know if I said that earlier, at the iHeart Music Awards. I was talking about the outfit. I didn't even talk about the award. The outfit was really that good. If you haven't seen it, it's worth a look. And then she just casually dropped. She was like, oh, Stevie Wonder, you're such an inspiration. Like, I love you and I'm inspired by you. And also, thank you for playing the harmonica on Jolene. What? Yeah. Fun fact, I'd never heard Jolene before. I still haven't heard Dolly Parton's version. I have no idea what that song sounds like. A lot of black people are really into country in a way that I, perhaps with our cultural obsession with line dancing, I probably should have guessed, but no. I'll go listen to Dolly's version because I like Dolly. Also, Dolly is on one of the filthiest songs on this album. And I was like, wait, Dolly's with the filth? Shouldn't surprise me. Dolly has stated publicly many times that her whole public persona is based off, what is the word that she used to describe the women? She was essentially saying local sex workers, but that wasn't the term that she used. She used a nice term to describe the ladies, maybe ladies of the night, working ladies. Sex workers is what she was saying. But she said that, you know, she liked the extraness. She liked the hair. She liked the boobies. She liked the makeup. She liked the dresses. But she said that she styled herself after the sex workers that she thought was sexy. So I guess I should have known Dolly was with the filth too. I'm making all sorts of associations in my head right now. This is fascinating. You ever want to work through some thoughts? I swear. Speak out loud. There's really something to it. Also, you want to get some shit done? Write it down. It makes it real. Stuff just rolling around in your head is just literally just that, rolling around in your head. Like, literally write it down. It could be on a napkin. I was watching something earlier today. Russell Simmons. What's Russell's last name? Sierra's Russell. Wilson. Lord God. Those are two different Russells, not to be confused. Jesus. I was going to say Russell Brand. Another one you don't want Russell Wilson associated with. Russell Wilson was on a podcast. I can't remember which one. I was just casually scrolling on Facebook. I didn't think about it as something to talk about in the podcast. It just popped in my head just now. He was saying that before he met Sierra, he did want to be in partnership. He wanted to be in a relationship. And he wrote down five things that he wanted in a partner. And specifically wanted someone who was independent. He didn't want someone whose world revolved around him. He said it could have been someone who was a nurse, who was a teacher. He was like, it was just important that they had their own thing that they wanted to be good at. He was like, I didn't know it was going to be like, you know, C, as he calls Sierra, who, you know, has her own stages and fans and all of that. But he was like, you know, if that worked. He wanted someone who was God-fearing. He wanted someone who, I think the phrase he used was tilt a room. When they walk in a place, everyone notices the energy shifts. He wanted that. I can't remember the other two things, but I was reading in the comments to see just how people responded to what he was saying. So many people were very positive. And then also additionally too, they were like, you know, it's kind of frustrating how many women are like, what is the Sierra prayer asking for someone like Russell? But you never see men looking at Russell and be like, what was the prayer? Like, how did you land her? And then also pointing out that everyone asked, like, you know, Sierra must have been praying for this man. But like, also, you know, he was praying for her. Like, it was a mutual thing. That's the ideal kind of person that you're looking for. Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that'll make your taste buds swoon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes, conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, or oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, Home Chef has you and the entire family covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. And not only is it convenient, but economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. I love how easy Home Chef makes it to have tasty meals that meet my dietary needs. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/ratchet. That's homechef.com/ratchet for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/ratchet. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. Picture the thing you've always wanted to learn. Now picture learning it from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That's what you get with Masterclass. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. A lot of people just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to master negotiation with Chris Voss, think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or create outside the lines with Issa Rae, Masterclass has you covered. With Masterclass, you get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. I love Masterclass. There are over 200 classes to pick from, with new classes added every month, like Issa Rae's class, which made me think about new platforms I can create on. Also, every new Masterclass membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/ratchet. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/ratchet. masterclass.com/ratchet.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Do we have anything else on our list? Like I said, it's a bit of a dry week, which you know what happens when the week is dry. All hell tends to break loose the week after. Remember like a couple weeks ago we had a dry week and then I'm going to connect the raid on Diddy's house. Correction, the raids on Diddy's homes to the slow week that we had. But, you know, it didn't come much far after. I don't know if saying speaking of Diddy is an appropriate transition here, but I'll say it anyway. I'll be sure has been chatting just a little bit, but he's seeming to make some allegations. For a refresher, I'll be sure used to date Kim Porter and they have a child together who was, to my knowledge, primarily raised by Puff. Puff considers Quincy his oldest child. So I'll be sure is very entangled, enmeshed, if you will, in the bad boy world via his son and the now deceased mother of Quincy. I don't know what event I'll be sure was at recently. I keep seeing people talk about what he said, but not where he was. I guess it really doesn't matter. But I'll be sure had been sick a few years ago. I mean, like real, real sick, where he thought he was going to die. He was in the hospital for a really long time and had a really hard recovery. I'm trying to be mindful with my details because there are things that I've read and there are things that people who know him have told me, and I don't want to betray that confidence. So I'm going to say less instead of more. He got on the microphone the other day. He said he was doing a documentary and he said that he was going to be transparent about what caused him to be in a coma. That's how sick he was. He says something like, when I tell my story, Homeland Security might have to get involved. Huh? Homeland Security is the government agency that raided Diddy's house. Of all places to mention, like, why wouldn't he say like the FBI might have to get involved? Why wouldn't he say the police have to get involved? He specifically said Homeland Security. So a lot of people have taken that to mean, and I don't think they're being far-fetched in this assumption, that he's implying that Diddy has something to do with him being in a coma. Now, if we were talking about somebody else, I'd be like, hey, that's a lot. Accusing this man of the cause of your coma? It's crazy that I could listen to I'll Be Sure insinuate that Diddy has something to do with him being in a coma. And I'm like, I mean, it's possible. Somebody said John Legend is the reason that so-and-so is in a coma. Never. That could never happen. Never. Diddy? Well, let's hear him out. Yeah, the man's reputation is ungood. There was something else that just happened with Diddy. Oh, Teray. I watched this in real time when it happened. I was standing in the living room. My dad was sitting in his chair. I was passing through the living room and he stopped to ask me something. So we were chatting and then Joy came on and she was interviewing Teray. I hear Diddy's name come up and I'm like, wait a minute. And Teray starts telling his story about how he was, you know, friends enough with Diddy where they had each other's phone numbers. And he called him and said, my relative, turns out to be a man, needs a internship. Can he intern for Bad Boy? Diddy was like, yeah, sure, no problem. Like, you know, send whatever to whomever, like, we'll get it done. And did. Teray says the relative does the internship and then one day abruptly quits. And Teray was like, hey, like, what happened with the internship? Like, I thought things were going well. Relative is like, nope. Teray was like, what happened? Don't want to talk about it. So years pass. And then finally the relative tells him they were headed somewhere. And Diddy said to him, come back to the house with me. Basically, come fuck me or you're fired. And so the relative was like, well, I'm fired. That's it. Sayonara. Adios. Bye-bye. If somebody told me that story, once again, about John Legend, I'd be like, no way. That's fucking crazy. John, no. There had to be a misunderstanding. Somebody says that shit about Diddy. Well, yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that's not far-fetched. You know, given who we're talking about. Again, reputation, ungood, unwell, poor. 1 out of 10. Do not recommend. I saw a lot of people mad at Teray, and admittedly, it crossed my mind. And I was like, you've been sitting on this for all these years? Like, why didn't you say anything? Because the same thing would have happened to him that happened to Wendy Williams. People of a certain age or people of a certain age who lived in the Northeast. I don't know if the South or the Midwest. I don't even know if it's a Northeast thing. It might have been just a New York thing. I don't know if she was syndicated at the time. Wendy was huge in radio in New York. She got fired and then moved to Philadelphia. And everybody was like, what the fuck happened? And the rumors for years, which Wendy did eventually confirm, was that she had... What was the story? Because I just looked it up the other day. Wendy said she had photos of one of Diddy's kids playing with Suge Knight. And this was in the middle of the East Coast, West Coast beef. And Wendy was going to release the pictures. There was also, Wendy was constantly obsessed with the idea of the gay rapper. And I think she had heavily insinuated, if not flat out said, that Diddy was the gay rapper or was a gay rapper. The story has always been that Diddy had a meltdown about what Wendy said, and then her bosses fired her, and she had to move to Philly to work. So for people who are like, and I don't say this in any defense of him, he's a grown-ass man with his own podcast, and obviously he's doing TV interviews on MSNBC. He can defend himself as he sees fit. I just like to remind people that there's really good reasons that people, even other men, don't speak out about really powerful people because it costs them everything. But I don't find fault in Teray not speaking up. I do wonder why he recommended his family member to go work for Diddy. He did say the family member is a he, so maybe he thought that he would be fine. Teray is a few years older than me and far more connected in hip-hop circles than I ever was. Surely he heard all the rumors I did about how Diddy treated women, or specifically Cassie. That was an open secret to everybody. But you called and recommended your relative to go there? I guess he thought because his relative was a he that he was safe? Apparently not. Yeah. Glad the young man was okay and had the good sense to get the fuck out. Yeah. That's the pod for today. We covered a lot. I didn't think looking at the outline for today we had quite enough, but it turned out all right. We shall be back on Friday. Won't be live, but I'll be in Cape Town. God willing. All right. Talk soon. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.